Good morning.
Good morning,
everyone. Good to be back with you this morning after having a rest for some time. I suggest that those of you who are taking down notes, don't do so, because you will then lose a lot of the train of my arguments in this very important study that we are going to do this morning. You will receive the recording and the notes on Tuesday from my website later on. So you pay attention to what I have to say and have your Bible open. That's all that I need from all of you. Today's study is requested specially by the oversight because it is a topic that needs a detailed discussion. And many people do not like to touch on that subject. And I'm referring to today's study on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, it is a topic and a subject that very few churches would like to touch upon because of this text. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, this is short verse, but it is very profound. How can God be the head of Christ when we know that God, Christ is God? How can Christ be the head of man when we know that we are sons together of God with him? For those who believe in him are given the right to become the children of God. Now this is profound. And with this teaching comes the practice that you must show that you believe that God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. And man is the head of woman by the man uncovering his head to show headship, and the woman covering her head to show her submission to the headship of man. Now, this is very controversial. In many churches, they do not teach that. But let's see what the Bible has to teach. So, I will deal with this by not touching on 1 Corinthians chapter 3 to 16, but touch on the foundation text on which all the arguments are based. And what is that foundation text? It is 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Come to think of it properly and carefully. Can God ever be the head of Christ? Isn't Christ God? Can man be the head of woman? Are they not equal? And yet, the teaching concerning the practice to demonstrate this truth is given in 1 Corinthians 11:3. Therefore, we must understand 11:3 if we want to practice what is taught in 3 to 16. So today, I would like to show you that this teaching is not only based on 11:3, but it is throughout the whole Bible. And therefore, I call it Biblical Headship. Chapter 11, verses 2 to 16, is based on teaching of headship, not in 1 Corinthians 11, 2 to 16 alone, but also it was established right from the beginning of the Bible. And therefore, I call it Biblical Headship. And we will go on to show later on, next week, that God is not only the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. And it extends to the church, and it extends to the family, and where a husband is the head of the wife. And this is the teaching that we must understand, which is very profound and which is very clear, but which men sometimes rebel against it. Next week, therefore, we will, the week later, which I don't have, the third week, is called Biblical Lordship. I was told to also to relate this teaching to the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, 1734. But I've been given two meetings, so we'll leave that out to another time. Because in the Lord's Supper, we emphasize the Lordship of Christ. Right, with this, we shall go on. This passage in 11:3 to 16 is controversial because many do not want to practice it. But is it controversial or is it clear cut? Some people say that, those who say that it's controversial, it is based on customs. Customs that should be put aside in the observation of the scriptures. Customs 11:2. Now you can look at your Bible and see it. It is used as the ordinances I pass on to you, hold fast, don't let go. Paul says, hold fast. So 11:2 is that I referred to as the passage after that is referred to as ordinances. What is an ordinance? An ordinance is regulation. It is an edict. It is a must do. It is a law. That's why we often hear that the church has only two ordinances. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper and the non-ordinance of baptism. And this is one of the ordinances associated with the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Why? I say, it's an ordinance. And this same word, paradosis in Greek, is translated tradition in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Oh, it's a tradition. It's a brethren tradition passed down. Why should we keep church traditions? Church traditions we put aside. This is a tradition. Yet, in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, same Greek word, paradosis, in translated ordinances in 1 Corinthians 11:2, says, these ordinances you must not cast aside. Perhaps I can quote it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. And it says very clearly here, therefore, brethren, hold fast, stand fast, and hold the traditions. Traditions. Tradition must be thrown away. Don't keep traditions. Brethren, tradition, throw away. These traditions, hold fast. There are some traditions which are scriptural, and they must be held fast. There are traditions which are church traditions. Throw them away. This is not the brethren tradition. It is a biblical tradition. Six. Are they cultural? This instruction has to do with cultures at that time. Are they cultures? Greek culture, Roman culture, Jewish culture? No. Chapter 14, 37. Paul says very clearly, these are the commandments of the Lord. If you don't want to keep them, know this, that these are the commandments of the Lord. They're commandments. And therefore, commandments of the Lord have to be kept and not to be thrown away. Third, are they confined to the church in Corinth? This teaching was only confined to the church in Corinth who did not want to follow. Really? Paul scolded the church at Corinth. You do not follow all these things which all churches follow. You are the exception. Chapter 14, verse 33. So, you find that it is not that controversial. It is clear-cut in Scripture about the teaching that we are going to discuss afterwards or next week. Therefore, in its contextual teaching, let us not take 1 Corinthians 11, 2 to 13 out from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, because it is based on the foundation text of chapter 11 and verse 2 and 3. God is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of the woman. It is very clear there. All right? So, again, I'd like to emphasize this thought, this foundation text. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. This is very important, especially when we come to the time, this our present living and present generation, when there is a talk, a lot of talk of woke. Let's wake up to what is woke. It is the current demand in the West and in many so-called modern civilizations. Woke. We must have woke. Woke is derived from American vernacular English, meaning aware or alert. Be aware. Be alert. All of us as citizens of this world must be aware and must be alert that we have rights. That's awoke. That we have rights. Let us awake to this wrong teaching. Woke will demand no more that God is the head of Christ. No more that Christ is the head of man. No more that man is the head of woman. Woke will not demand that. Woke will say, God has the right. Christ has the right. Man has the right. The woman has the right to be equal in every way. What is woke? Woke is not an acronym, W-O-K-E, but it is its original meaning means to be alert, to be aware of, be aware of your rights, fight for your rights. Modern culture today, it is a social, be aware of social injustice. And you read in the multimedia today, you read in the newspapers today, you read over the propaganda today, be aware of your rights, our rights. And today, in the Middle East and in the world, people are fighting for their rights, their rights. All right. So, and also culture brings this about. This is a divisive term used by some sincerely and others some mockingly. Well, whatever it is, among the above, the so-called rights are these people who declare, we want our rights, we are aware of our rights, we insist on our rights. Who are they? LGBT. Who are the LGBT? The lesbians, women of the same sex insist on their right to have sex among themselves, to have sex with their own, to be married their own, woman with woman. There are also the gays, where men have declared they have a right to their own sex. And we have bisexual, those who are not sure whether they are men or whether they are women. We can be men and can be women, and we want to be marry a man, we can marry a man, and we can marry a woman, we can marry a woman, and so on. The bisexual. And the transgender. You were declared in your birth certificate, you were born a male. But later on you grow up, oh no, I don't want to be a male, I want to be a female. So change, I'm a female. So when you are born, don't put down gender, because gender can be changed. So you cannot be a male or a female. You can either be a male or female later on. These are your rights. Don't let the immigration, don't get the registration office say, oh, you are born a male. No, you are not. Because later on you may be a female. So these are the rights. Wake up. Wake up. Don't be susceptible to the teaching of stroke. We know this person. Who is this person? Dear Thomas, I don't know how to address. He or she was born a he. Okay, was born a he. Then, over the years, as he grew up, he decided, no, I do not want to be a he, I want to be a she. So he took some treatment and he became a she. And as a result of that, he a year later or two later after treatment, he became a she and he insisted on the right to swim in the ladies' swimming competition and he became first. Of course. He had the muscular power to fight against the women. And because he had declared himself to be a woman, he insisted on the right to go into the woman's changing room as well. And the poor ladies don't know what to do, to see him all bare. And so that was a problem. So a woke is with regard to all these people who insist on their rights. So we must be aware of that. We must awake ourselves. And that knowing that Romans 13:11, and that knowing that the time, that now is right high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we expected. When we see these kind of things happening in the world today, know the Lord is coming soon. We are coming to the end of the world because these are the signs of the end times. Romans 1:21-25, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So you see this condition going on now, coming to our own lifestyle, challenging us to that kind of lifestyle. Be careful. We are nearing the time. So are we going to follow them? Are we going to follow the challenges of the modern cultures? Awoke or awake? Right. To discuss this rightly and in perspective, so that we understand what is awoke, to be awake, to awoke, then we must know three things. Know your rights, know your roles, and know your responsibilities. These are three teachings that we must know very well in Scripture. We must make a distinction between what our rights, what our roles, and what our responsibilities, and not mix them up. Right. This is the topic of our discussion this morning. The headship, instruction and implications, the rights of divine headship. God is the head of Christ. No, Christ is God. How can God be the head of Christ? Therefore, we must understand what is the right, what is a role, and what is a responsibility. So firstly, let us discuss a right. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is a man, and the head of Christ. Here is a discussion on rights. The right of God, he is God. The right of Christ, he is God. The right of man, he is man. Right. Let's study this in detail with regard to the rights. The rights or equality of divine persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. The Father, the Son, the Spirit are all, or is God. Right. Where do we read this? The Father, the Son, and the Spirit is God. Hebrews 1:8. God said, unto the Son, he said, God, thy throne, O Lord, O God, is forever. Unto the Son, thy throne, O God, is forever. The Son is addressed as God. His right is God. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Ananias had sold his property and then said, I have given my everything to God. Peter was angry. Why do you lie? You have only given a part of your property to the church, and you say you have given all. You have lied to the Holy Spirit. And then later on, the next verse, you have lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. Then we also read Matthew 28, verse 10. Go into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature and baptize them in the name of the Son, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All in the name, not names. Then we also read, the Father and Son are one. For example, John 8:58, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Good English would be, "Before Abraham was, I had been," because it was before Abraham, "I had been." No, "I am." From now to the past, to the long past, I am. Why I am? Because the Lord Jesus Christ was referring to the name of God who said to Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am God who is I am. God whose name is I am has sent me to you." So you see there, God is I am. That is right. The Father is I am. The Father has the right. He is God. John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." Jesus Christ saying clearly that he and God have right, total rights. You see, Zacchaeus, who always challenged people, "I shall be a Christian if you can prove to me that the Lord Jesus Christ in unequivocally said that he is God." Here we see this, the Lord Jesus Christ claiming to be God. The Son claims equality with God. The Father, John 5:18. Remember, the Jews took up stones. They wanted to stone him. Why? Because he claimed to be God. They accused him of blasphemy. "Because that thou, being a man, callest thou God." Now, this is the right. Okay? So, we must understand the perspective, therefore, when we read, God is the head of Christ. But Christ is God. This is the right we are talking of. He God. The role of divine persons. Now, let's understand the role. What is the difference between right and role? 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of Christ is God, that is the right. But we also read, who being, Philippians 2:6-8, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God have something to be grasped, but made himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In nature, he's right, God. He emptied himself of this nature. He put aside this nature. He became a man. He took upon himself the nature of man. And he became man in all his fullness. All right? And then, as a man, he performed as a man, that his role as a man, his right was still God, although he had left his right as God, he still has the right as God in the role, in the right of being a man. In the role of being a man. And as a man, he performed the responsibility of a man. And what is the responsibility of a man? That in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So note please the difference. The right, left the right to take on a new role. And as a new role, he was responsible to play out the fullness of that new role, his responsibility. The Lord Jesus Christ became man and was obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. The Father, therefore, is the first person of the Godhead. To easily define our terms, we call him the first person. The Son, the second person, because he had left his right as God, but he became right as man. And the Spirit, the third. Now, the Father sent the Son and the Spirit. John 14:24, and also we read in 17:25, 26, Galatians 4:6. In all these references, we read, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the Father sent me. The Father sent the Son. All right? And we read in John 15:26, 16:7, if I leave, it will be good. When I leave, I shall send the Comforter, and the Comforter will teach you all things. And who is the Comforter? The Holy Spirit. God sent the Son. The Son sent the Holy Spirit. Whoever sends is greater than the one who is sent. That is the teaching in John 13:16. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than him that sent him. The Father sent the Son. You never read of the Son sending the Father. The Son sent the Holy Spirit. You never read of the Spirit sending the Son. But of the Spirit, he said, when he is come, he will speak always of me. The Son is the one, the head of the divine Godhead, and now of the Holy Spirit. And so you see this rank in the headship of God. And therefore, we understand what is the difference between right, role, and responsibility. The Spirit will not speak of himself, but will glorify his Son. John 16:13-15. But you never read of the Spirit sending the Son. All right. Let's go on. The Father is the first person. The Son, therefore, is the second person in role. The Son learns obedience. Because he has become man, he learns obedience, Hebrews 5:8. And he is obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How can the Son die? If he is God, how can he die? But then he takes on the role of a man. And as a perfect man, to be the sacrifice for sin, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is responsibility. He seeks not his will, but my Father's will. He said, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but my Father's be done. That I will be done. Okay. The roles and responsibilities of divine nature. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Know their rights, know their roles, and know their responsibilities. And then, if the Son has the right to be equal with God, and yet he submits to the Father, why cannot we submit according to the rank that he has laid down for us? If the Spirit, who has the right to be equal with the Father and the Son, submit and speaks only of the Son, why cannot we do so? Why must we claim equal right? And therefore comes important teaching, important instruction. The man is the head of the woman. The woman has to submit. If the Son can submit, if the Spirit can submit, why can't the woman submit? And what is submit? Submit is not to show your inferiority. The word submit is a military word, which means to lower yourself in rank. When I join the army, I may be the doctor. I may be a doctor. When I join the army, I join in a lower rank than the major. Major may be just a clerk, professional clerk. But if he is a major, when the doctor, who is higher in status than the major, when he sees them, the clerk has to salute because he is ranked below. That is the word submission, to rank below. It is not so, that does not show that you are inferior, but you are following the rank of submission. And so we understand the word submission. with regard to the Son submitting to the Father, the Spirit submitting to the Son, and the woman submitting to the man. That is God's rank as laid down in Scripture for us. Right. Now, we come to this headship again. Not only in 1 Corinthians 11, we see this headship right back to Genesis. From the very, very beginning. And that's why from in 1 Corinthians 11, you find there were cases where they referred to incidents in the time of creation. Right, let's begin. The headship of man in creation. The man is the head of the woman. This was taught and practiced right from the time of creation. It's not in the time of the Corinthians only. 1 Corinthians 11:3. The head of the woman is the man. Let's see this being taught, expounded, right in the time of creation. The rights of man and woman in creation, Genesis chapter 1. Or the headship of man before the fall, as I said. Before the fall, we see the headship of man. And man there I put between inverted commas because the man there refers to man and woman, anthropologists. Man and woman, all right? Humanity. The headship of man, that is the equality of man and woman, stated right in the very beginning, Genesis, we find the headship of man and woman equal. How? Let's see. God said, let us make man. Let us make man. And man, of course, at that time referred to Adam. But man, was he referring to Adam per se? No. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them. Therefore, the man must be referring to the them. God created man. God created them to have dominion over everything and so on. God said, let us make man. Wasn't God singular? Let him make man. He says, let us make man, referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right there at the very beginning of creation. Right. His man's creation involved the triune God personally. It was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three of them involved in the creation of man and woman. Let us make man. Among the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I don't know who said that. Let us make man. Not let me make man. Not let him make man. Let us make man. He was created to bear the triune God's image. Man that was to be created would have the same personality and image as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In our image, after our likeness, we have the personality of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in his image. So God created man in his own image. And yet the three are one. God created man in his image. 127. In the image of God created he him. Man was male and female. The man there did not refer to Adam per se, but to male and female, because male and female created he them in 127. 127 reads like this. So God created man in his own image. in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And today, woke says, when you are born into this world, you are not a male or female. And their passport declares that they are not male or female. Gender, nil. Until such time, when they are old enough, between 4 to 8 years old, to say, I'd like to be a man. Gender, man. I'd like to be a girl. Gender, girl. It's your choice. God's right has become man's right. Are you going to allow this kind of culture and thinking and theology to come into our church? Where we refuse God's rank of submission and refuse God's ranking according to his authority. Both were appointed head over God's creation. While God created man head over woman, both were appointed head of God's creation. Let them have dominion to subdue it and have dominion over. So you see, men and women will have the right to all be over creation. Okay, let's go on. The role of man's headship in creation order. Now, what is the role? Man and woman, they more or less have the same right. Now, what is their role? The role is the woman must submit. Let's see. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man that thou art?" It's anthropos, meaning man in general. "That thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him. Thou makest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with a glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subject under him, he left nothing." So, creation to be under man. That is the authority set out. The headship of man over woman. Now, let's see. While man and woman were appointed head over all creation, the relationship between man and woman is different. The woman, the headship of man over the woman hinted, not specifically stated, but hinted. How? Male and female created he them and called their name Adam. Why not Eve? And called their name Adam. Why not man? But Adam would refer to man and call their name Adam, using the male's name instead of the female's name. For as the body, and this is not surprising because in the New Testament, the same is applied to the church. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. All the members, the church, are one body under Christ. So also is Christ. Go on. The image is man and woman, individually and not collectively. And Adam begot a son. How can Adam beget a son? It's Eve who begot the son. No, Adam begot the son. Adam has taken over the place, has taken over the leadership of the female. And Adam begot a son and called his name Adam. Begot a son in his own likeness after his image. Okay? The woman was created from Adam's rib to play a different role. Now, let's see how this rank between man and woman is put up. One, the woman was created from Adam's rib to play a different role. Men and women were to play different roles. Now, we are talking about roles now, huh? Please. No more rights. Now, there are roles. God could have created Eve at the same time as Adam. That is, man and woman together. Why not the same time? Why different time? God created Adam first. And after that, he took a rib from Adam's side and created Eve. Why not he created them at the same time? If God had meant them to play equal roles. God could have created Eve in the same way as Adam, that is from the dust of the earth. Why did God create Eve from the rib of Adam and not from the dust of the earth as he created Adam? If God wanted them to play equal roles, but God meant them to play a role that was characterized by submission and headship. And therefore, God created the woman from the rib of man and not from the dust of the earth as man was created. God could have created Eve the same as Adam, as with the same physical conditions. Eve could have the same biological characteristics as man. Why did God make a difference if God had intended for them to be equal? And so you see the difference in creation. Right. The woman was created from Adam's rib to play a different role. That's the reason why. Not the same role, a different role. That's why they were created. She was created differently. The woman was the man's help for him to play a complement role so that she would become a help to man. God had found no help for man in creation, but God had to create a new help to complement man, and that was Eve. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowls and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a help. And that was why Eve was created. She alone was suitable to meet Adam's loneliness. She alone was suitable to meet Adam's nature, so that the two could complement one another. Man had this physical nature, the woman had this physical nature, so that they could complement one another, although man was the head of the woman. Let us know the difference between rights and roles. She alone was suitable for the one flesh. And while man would be the head of the woman would supplement and be different from man, yet the woman must be the one to be one flesh with Adam. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." See the rights, the roles, and the responsibilities of each person in the creation, even from the very beginning, not only in the Corinthian time. Okay. The woman was the man's help to play a subordinate role. She was created to be man's help because there was no one available. The woman was created to help the man, not the man to help the woman. The man is the woman's equal, but her head. The woman is the man's equal, but his helper. Rights, equal, both roles. One is a helper, the other is a head. And therefore, there must be the responsibility to one to fulfill the role to the one who is the head. The woman was named by man in acknowledgement of her inherent role. She shall be called woman. He defined her for himself. It was God who named Eve, woman, not the Lord God. She shall be called woman. He distinguished her from him. Man, woman. There was a distinction. They are not the same. He discovered and identified her in him. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, in spite of the fact that they are different, but yet they are bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and the two shall be one flesh. So he departed from his parents for her. Let a man leave his parents and cleave to the wife. Note the paradox in the creation account. Chapter 1 teaches the equality of the sexes as God's image bearers and vice rulers of the earth, their rights. Chapter 2 makes the male the head and the female the helper, the role. This is a partnership of equals, with men playing the role of the primary head to lead the partnership to a God's glorifying direction. Male headship and leadership is wedded to female help to establish a God-glorifying partnership. Man may be the head, the woman may have to submit, both combined together in an equal partnership that God may be glorified. Finally, the headship of man during and after the fall. Now let's see what happened during and after the fall. Eve usurped Adam's authority and led the way into sin. The serpent went to Eve, "Take of this fruit," and Eve took it. Now, Eve usurps authority. Eve should not act first. Adam should be acting, but Adam did not act. Eve took. Eve acted authoritatively. Result, she sinned. And that's why we read in 1 Timothy 2:14, the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam was not mentioned. Adam was not mentioned in 1 Timothy. God. Adam abandoned the responsibility as head. Genesis 3:6, we read, her husband with her, and he did it. She acted authoritatively and she took the fruit. Adam had authority. Stop her. No, he did not. He followed. He submitted. Instead of being the head, he submitted. And sin came in. It's not her husband who was with her. Also, he did not exercise authority. But he followed. Also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And RSV. He was with her. She took it. Husband must exercise his authority, stopping her. He did not. She gave to him, and he took it, and he ate it. Now, therefore, she was in transgression. 1 Timothy. Adam, while she was in transgression, who was responsible? Adam had to answer for it, both for their sin and God's appointed head. Adam must answer, why did you allow Eve to take of that fruit? both sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, but Adam was searched out. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? God did not say, Eve, where are you? God knew Eve was the one who took the fruit. But God did not ask, Eve, where are you? Adam, you should have exercised authority. You should exercise your headship. Where are you? Both sinned, but Adam was singled out. So that we read in Romans, by one man, sin entered into the world. One man, not the woman. Didn't sin enter into the world through the woman? No. Man. By one man, sin entered the world. Okay. So, God's administration says the judgment that came upon both of them. To Eve, as a mother, she will suffer pain in childbirth. To Eve, as wife, she will submit to her husband. The desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That is the punishment of sin in Genesis chapter 3. To Eve, she will help her husband. Thy desire shall be to the husband. She was created for her help. He will be her head, and he shall rule over thee. That's the punishment meted out to Eve when she sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. Thus, redemption does not redefine creation. It restores creation so that wives need to learn the role of godly submission. Husbands learn the role of godly headship in an equal partnership of persons. Now we come to the end. Adam, what's the punishment? He will suffer in working the ground. He will sweat and he will eat bread. Because thou hast hearkened unto thy wife. Because thou hast hearkened to thy wife. You see the punishment? Because thou hast hearkened. Eve was not addressed in this way. No formal indictment. But Adam was. He would die. But Eve was not told that, though she too would die. That's a punishment given out to Adam. And conclusion. Adam accepted the punishment and called the wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living, instead of blaming her for the punishment anymore. Let's not blame one another, okay? Males, husbands, men, don't blame the women. Don't blame. Realize your role, realize her role, and realize everybody's role, and be partners one with another to the glory of God, acknowledging Him as the head of all partnerships. Out of death and despair, there appeared faith and hope in living. As they faced life together with a better understanding of their roles of headship and subordination, as decreed by God in creation and in the fall, in delightful well-fellowship of equality in personal worth, as they set up home together, living the role of man's headship in church and home order. And that will be discussed next week in study number 2, where we study the headship of God, and of Christ and of man in the church and in the home. So with this, I end as a postscript. What about today? Spiritually, just now we have been discussing the physical acknowledgement of headship. Now, spiritual, all are sons and daughters of God, men and women, all are sons of God. Galatians 3:26. All have the same status, no male or female, Galatians 3. All are of the seed of Abraham, Galatians 3:29. All have faith in Christ, Galatians 3:26. All have been baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27. These are all your rights. Okay? All are your rights. All are your rights. They are yours. We are all equal spiritually. Everyone has a right to become the children of God. John chapter 1 verse 12. But physically, in church, in the home, there is the rank to be followed. In partnership, let God be glorified. But I would have you know, that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. To the glory of God. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ is in the church today, that the church may give him all the preeminence, so that all will bow down to him. And all creation will bow down to him. First started by the church. The church will bow down to him. Then the creation will bow down to him. And all will bow down to him, that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That God may be all in all. All this are done that we may glorify God. If you want to glorify God in your lives and in the church, let God be glorified in this way. The Lord bless. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy teaching on headship. We thank you we can acknowledge thee as the head of our lives. And we thank you we can acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives. And we pray that as husband and wives at home, we may establish this and not this ranking that thou hast set up, that all may come together in partnership to glorify thee as the one head of the home, one head of Christ. Help us, Lord, we do pray, to be what thou would have us to be. We ask all these things in Christ's precious name. Amen.